Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You are faithful, Lord, in every need. Oh, and we thank you today, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we do give you the glory today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's all that we need today. Amen. He's the answer to your trouble, your worry, your problem, whatever that you're dealing with this morning. He's the answer. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You can look back on your life. If you've been a servant of the Lord, you have numerous testimonies of how that the Lord has been there with you. He's brought you through. He has strengthened you and helped you. And so today is just another day of saying thank you, Lord, for providing and for being there in every circumstance of our life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Psalm 34, would you turn there with me? This is a wonderful psalm. Also, we have throughout this month of November been looking at psalms that are identified as wisdom psalms. And there are about 25 of these out of the 150 psalms that are considered wisdom psalms. And the thing that distinguishes a wisdom psalm is that two ways are portrayed in a wisdom psalm. It shows the way of the wicked, the way of the unrighteous, and contrasts it with the way of the righteous and the way that the godly should follow. I think we all are aware of the fact that our life is made up of many, many decisions, some of them that seem like they're small and insignificant. But all of our decisions are important every day of our life. We need to be living our life to follow the path of wisdom, the path of righteousness, the path of godliness that's described for us in many of these wisdom psalms. I'm going to read here in this Psalm 34. Now, I know these verses are some of the most familiar in the Scripture. You'll see many of these verses on plaques and identified, portrayed or displayed publicly in some way, because there's so many of these verses that have such an important message. But let's read here Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Praise God. The contrasting verses in this psalm, Psalm 15, or verse 15, and 16. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open under their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So you see there the contrast of the two ways that we are to choose. I'm glad that the Lord has had mercy upon many of us, if not all of us, in this service here today. There came a day when we made a decision, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to walk the way that is before me and walk the way of godliness and the way of righteousness. Now, this psalm is a wonderful psalm, as I said, because it depicts all the wonderful benefits of walking this way. I was going to call this the good life, but I was afraid that that might be a TV show or something. And I don't know if it is or not. So I'm just calling this today the goodness of God. That's not no TV show. The goodness of God. Amen. Now, David is the author of this psalm, as he is most of these wisdom psalms. And David, he wrote this psalm at the time, and it probably mentions this in the heading just above Psalm 34 in your Bible. My Bible, which is a Thompson Chain reference, it says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. So that gives a little insight into what was going on in David's life whenever he wrote this psalm that for the most part is just a psalm of praising God, thanking God. Now, you have to go to 1 Samuel chapter 22 to see the story and what was going on in David's life. He was literally running for his life from King Saul. And so afraid for his life that he was hiding in the caves and the rocks and the hills, anywhere he could find a place to hide. And in this occasion, he is so fearful in the circumstance that he's in that he actually goes into the land of the Philistines to try to find a place of safety from Saul there. And we all know that David is famous among the Philistines. He is known among the Philistines as the one, and the Philistines will never forget the day when David is just a small lad, but when he comes in to the battlefield of the Philistines, when they are holding the armies of Israel at siege, and David's just a small boy, but something stirs inside of him whenever he hears this giant blaspheming his God. And he raises up against Goliath. And you know the story. All the children in Sunday school know the story that God used David as he was used up and used mightily of the Lord. He raised up and stepped out against Goliath and defeated Goliath that day. And all the armies of the Philistines ran for their life. The whole battle was turned because of the faith and the courage of young David. David became famous that day among the Philistines and all of Israel. And so for David to find a hiding place in the land of the Philistines is, you got to be pretty afraid of Saul to run into a place like that. But he's there. And he's in the land of the Philistines, and all the servants. Now it says in the beginning of my Bible, as I read to you, that it was Abimelech. Actually, the term Abimelech was a term that was used to describe someone that was the leader or the king, just like the Pharaoh was the Pharaoh, but there were many individual names of the Pharaohs. Well, Abimelech was a name designated as the king or the monarch of the Philistines. In the scripture, his name was actually Achish. And as he went in to the land there, that the servants they saw David. They recognized who he was. They said, is this not the one that's been anointed to be king? Is this not David, the one that they sang about him? They sang the song about David, saying that Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Is this not the one that they sang about? Now, David overheard the servants of Achish talking about him and talking about his fame in among the Philistines. And the Bible says he was afraid, and he began to cry out to the Lord, to look to the Lord for help, because they were going to bring him before King Achish. And he knew he was going to be found out, and obviously he was probably going to be destroyed. He was going to be killed in the land of the Philistines. So he's afraid running from Saul. It's a bad thing to be running from your own people and run into the land, afraid, into the land of the enemies and be found caught there as well. Really, David didn't have anywhere to turn. He had no one to look to, friend or foe. They were all out to destroy him. And it's really an interesting story, because the Bible says that whenever that David realized what was getting ready to happen to him, the Bible says that he feigned to be like a madman. Now, that means that he just started acting like he was a crazy man. And he began to mark on the doors of the gates. He scrabbled on the gates, and he began to slobber and spit, and it ran down on his beard and acted like a crazy man. And as a result of that, the king said, why have you brought a crazy man to me? What threat is he to us? And in all of that, it seems like a strange way for him to be delivered from the Philistines. But the king just said, get this guy out of here. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Get him out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with this man. And he was delivered. I remember Brother Burkett talking about many years ago when he was in Russia. He was distributing Bibles and working, for the most part, underground in Russia. This was back in the 60s and the 70s. And he was fearful of being found out who he was. But one day he got on a bus, and it was the wrong bus. And the bus was filled with Russian soldiers. And he was, when he realized he was on the wrong bus, he was so afraid of what was going to happen to him. But he said that the Lord brought this story of David to his mind. And only as Brother Burkett could do, he began to feign like he was a madman on that bus. And when he did, they said, let's get this guy off of this bus. And they kicked Brother Burkett off of the bus. That's a strange way to be delivered, isn't it? But it's on this occasion, or at least in remembrance of this occasion, that David writes Psalm 34. Isn't that interesting? That he would probably run back to his hiding place in the cave and then begin to praise God. God delivered me out of this mess I got myself into. God help me in my trouble that I was in. It doesn't matter, even if you get yourself into the mess and into the trouble, the Lord is the one who brings deliverance, and he's the one that brings help to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the first three verses of this psalm are just psalms of thanksgiving, words of praising and thanksgiving unto the Lord. You can see here the expression of the psalmist. I will bless the Lord at all times. What's he referring to? I'm talking about the time when I'm caught in a big mess, in a crisis, and I don't know how to get myself out of this situation. I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Always in my mouth. You know, really, praise is wonderful, but it's never really what it should be until it's expressed. Thanksgiving, it has to be expressed. And it needs to be something that you express to people, and especially to the Lord. Lord, I am grateful. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Amen. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he invites everybody to join him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. So just the first three verses are just verses that encourage us to give praise and thanks unto the Lord. By the way, we live in a world that is so filled with grumbling and complaining and negativism. It's wonderful when you hear somebody that has a praise on their lips. Amen. And expresses a thanksgiving unto the Lord. And it doesn't matter what you're up against or what you're going through. You may be in a crisis right now and in the midst of some trouble right now. And you don't know what to do about it. Well, to start off with, the psalmist just said, you need to give praise to the Lord. He's the one that can deliver you. And you don't see how that he could. You don't see how that he could come. But let me tell you, God has his ways. His ways are mighty and they're wonderful. And God is able to deliver you in the worst of crisis. If you'll put your trust in the Lord. He said, I'm going to boast in the Lord. I'm going to express his greatness and his mighty power. And I'm going to give him the glory for the things that he has done. Amen. Magnify the Lord with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's always in order to do just that. Verses 4 through 7 is describing why he's praising. Verses 1, 2, and 3 are verses of praise and thanksgiving. But then these other verses are verses that identify what specifically God had done for him, why he was praising the Lord. He said, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. My worst fear was when I thought that I could find a hiding place and I couldn't, and I got myself into the biggest mess that I could ever be in. But the Lord heard my cry, and the Lord saw me in the mess I was in, and he was able to help me, and he delivered me from that trouble that I was in because I cried out to the Lord. You know, really, the most wonderful benefit that we have as the people of God is to realize that anywhere, anytime, no matter what the circumstance is, you can call out to God. Amen. You can call on the name of the Lord, and it doesn't have to be some special prayer. It just has to be your heart and an expression of your heart and your dependence upon God and your need for the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. That verse was kind of interesting. I was trying to determine, reading, you know, different commentaries and trying to identify what this is talking about. It's talking about those that were his companions that were with him. The they were those that were around him and observing what was going on and how that God was delivering. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Amen. Too oftentimes, we are looking at our situation. Our focus is on our worry, our trouble, our problem, when what we really need to do is look to him. We need to look up. And when you look to the Lord, then you will not be ashamed. Your face will be affected by the glow and the presence of the Lord because you have looked to God. He's the answer. Amen. Verse 6, it says, this poor man, again, he's identifying himself. Doesn't matter what class in life you were in, he was identifying himself as a beggar, the lowest of the low, the lowest of the society. He said, but this poor man, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. God isn't just, he doesn't just bend his ear toward those who have special ability or are special people. God looks to meet the needs of whoever, whatever class of life that they may find themselves in. They may feel unworthy and unlikely. But David said, I was just a beggar. I was all alone. I was in a hopeless situation. God delivered me from my troubles. Amen. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. It's here and in two other places in the psalm that the phrase, the angel of the Lord. So it's not necessarily talking about all the host of heaven. It's specifically talking about the Son of the living God himself, the angel of the Lord. Amen. It is the Lord. It was right there with me. And surrounded me and was protecting me and helping me in the midst of all of my trouble. Now we're talking about his goodness today. And you'll notice here in this text that there are actually three times that the word good, four times rather, that the word good is used. Four times. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And in verse 8 is the first place where the word good is used. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, to describe who God is, we can say that God is good. God is good. And that may be an oversimplification, but there's no way that we can, in our vocabulary, describe who he is. But this is a word that just describes him. He is at perfection. He is the best. There is none above him. There is none greater than him. He is the greatest, the mightiest, the almighty one. He is good. Amen. So why don't you taste and see that the Lord is good? How many people have you talked to or that you have witnessed to, and you see them in their need, and they look to every other source other than to the Lord? They won't bend their knee to pray. They won't go to church. They won't try God. They've tried everything else that this world has to offer. But David is saying here, why don't you just taste and see what this is like? Why don't you just try it? Why don't you just try the Lord? If you'll just taste and have an experience with him like I have. And that's what David is identifying here. All my experiences with the Lord and how he's delivered me and helped me and came to me in my time of need. And so why don't you taste and see that he is good? Amen. That he is good. Why don't you try it? Try the Lord. Some people will say, you know, around Thanksgiving or different times when you're meeting with family members to eat, some people will say, I don't like that. I don't like that particular thing. It's pretty interesting because I've quizzed people who say, I don't like that, many times to find out they have never even tasted it. They just came to some conclusion. They didn't like the way it looked or the way it smelled or something. And they just decided, I don't like that. I don't want that. And if they would just try it. Amen. Just try it. A lot of people think, oh, it's a waste of time going to church, praying, and being a religious person. And, oh, it's just a waste of time. They've never tried it. They don't know what it is to walk with the Lord. They don't know what it is to see God move in your life and for his goodness to be revealed in your life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Everything that he does in our life is good. Amen. All of it is good. It is all perfection. It is all the wonderful blessing and the provision of the Lord. We used to sing this song years ago. I don't know if you all sang it here at First Pentecostal. I grew up with songs like this. Try Jesus. He never fails. Or evil, his love prevails. In sunshine or stormy gales, try Jesus. He never fails. Amen. How many of you heard that one before? There's a few of you. You've heard it. Well, why don't you try the Lord? Why don't you encourage those that are around you to try the goodness of the Lord? Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There is no source any wonder, more wonderful or any greater than the Lord. He is good. That identifies him. It describes who he is. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. The man who puts their trust in God and walks with the Lord and who fears the Lord. That's the man that's going to realize that God is good. Amen. And he is a wonderful, wonderful provision for his people. It's an experimental trial that we encourage people to come and taste. Just enter in to the presence of the Lord. I've seen people who weren't interested in God or the things of the Lord come into a church service. They would sense the presence of God. They would feel God dealing with them, speaking to them. And before the end of that day, their life was turned around for the good, for the glory of God. Amen. And God can do that for you. God can move in your need or your circumstance if you'd just be willing to taste and see that he is good. Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Another verse where good is identified is in verse 10. Now you have to remember that David is spending a lot of his time in the wilderness, in the caves, in the hiding places of the wilderness. And so no doubt he's seen wildlife. As I understand it, you don't have to go very far now to see wildlife. I heard that there were like something like 18 coyotes that have been killed in the city limits of London in the last few weeks. So I came kind of late last night, walking out of the school over here, and I walked out those double doors to head home about 10:30 last night, and something was alive in the dumpster. And I thought it was something big and something that was going to attack me and scared me to death. But it wasn't a coyote. It wasn't anything too vicious. It was just a very big cat. But it scared me anyway. David was in the wilderness, and no doubt he had seen all kinds of wildlife, including young lions. Because he describes here, young lions do lack and suffer hunger. The lions, if anybody had, any of the wildlife had anything to eat, it would always be the lions and the young lions, the strong ones. But he said, even the young lions will lack and cry for their hunger. But even in a time of need and drought, when no one else has anything, the Lord will provide what you have need of. Amen. Amen. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. So he first describes God as good, identifying his character and who he is. And then it identifies him in this verse as the source of everything good. The source of everything good in the midst of your life and your situation, when you cry out to the Lord, when everything else is in need and everyone else is in need, when you put your trust in the Lord, He'll not withhold anything good from you. Hallelujah. He will be your provision and He will be your help. Then in verse 12, another place where the word good is identified there. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? That he may see good. And this verse is talking about the good life, the life that God can provide for us. Amen. As we live for the Lord, it is the best life. It is the blessed life. It's the life of God's provision. But that person that looks at his life not only these two young ladies that turned 18, but all you other young people. You know, we were talking, Brother Bright was talking about time in the Sunday school class. And time becomes more of an issue the older you get. The older you get, the more you identify time and you think of, you know, how the time is passing away and your years are passing away. When you're a young person, all you can see is, you know, that time has no limits. It's before you. You have so much before you. But the person and the young person that can look at his future and say the best life to live is the life lived for God. That's the life. That's the best life. The life that is lived for God, then down through the days, the weeks, and the months of your life and your years, you're going to see good. You're going to see good. The goodness of the Lord. And no doubt you know of people who refuse the Lord or turn away from the Lord and living out their days of their life without God. And you see no fulfillment, no joy, no success. Only the things that the world has to offer. But the life that is lived out for God is the life that is the good life. Amen. This is the good life. Serving the Lord, living for the Lord. Whether you live to be 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever, you may live to be 100 years old. It really doesn't matter. But if you live out the days of your life and you have lived them for God and you are pursuing life according to God's purpose and God's will for your life. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many good days, that he may see good? This is identifying the life of fruitfulness. That he'll see good. He'll see the things he desires brought to pass and fulfilled in his life if he will just choose the right way. Praise God. And then in verse 14, another verse. Depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. That is the life that is lived. The choice that you make to do the right thing, to live for the Lord and to live a good life as God provides for you and all the wonderful provision that is yours, because it all flows from Him. Amen. The goodness of the Lord, the goodness of God is a wonderful, wonderful provision for the people of God. Verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now the experience that David had caused him to get closer to the Lord. His faith in the Lord was increased. Many times the troubles and the crisis situations of our life, that they have the potential of helping us get closer to the Lord. If you'll take advantage of that trial and that trouble that you're in and just cry out to God, Lord, I need help. I'm in trouble. I've got problems. I don't have answers. But Lord, I know that you're near. I know you're not very far away. The good life is the life that is in complete and total trust and dependence upon the Lord. Because God will supply what you are in need of, whatever the circumstance that you may be in. Some people never come to God until they get in the midst of trouble. They neglect the Lord and the things of the Lord. They never even pray or even see their need for God until they get into a big time of trouble. And I believe that was the case of David. His trouble did not destroy him. It didn't tear him down, but his trouble caused him to see the hand of God, the greatness of God, the goodness of God in supplying for him in his worst trial. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's absolutely no way that I could ever know in this congregation. I may know some of the things that you're faced with, but many of you have great trials and burdens that I don't know anything about them. You have fears and worries. I don't know anything about them. But I want to challenge you here this morning. The good life is the life that is where you put all of your confidence and all of your trust in the Lord, and you put your life in His hands, because He's a God that will do good for you, that will provide for you and bless you. Amen. He's the source of goodness. He's the one that provides life that is a life that is spiritually beneficial and good. And he's the one that provides the fruit of a good life lived out for God. Amen. Lived for the Lord. What a blessing it is to live out the days of your life and to please God and to know that God is with you every step of the way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to just take a moment this morning just to pray with you and for you. Some of you here in this service in great need. You've got a lot of fears, a lot of worries, a lot of things are weighing heavily upon your mind. But in the midst of all that David experienced, he was saying, I'm just going to bless the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, even in the midst of this situation that I'm in. I'm going to glorify the Lord and thank the Lord because He is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the daily provision that You send our way. And Lord, we know that we do not have anything. We certainly don't have the answers or the solutions to life's problems. But Lord, I'm so thankful that one day I was introduced to You. And Lord, I know that You are the God of answers. And Lord, everything good just flows out from You. And I thank you, Lord, that you are mindful of everyone and every need here today. And I don't know the fears. I don't know the troubles. I don't know the pain. I just know, God, that you're good. And I know, Lord, that you will supply help for every need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, if we just cry out to you, we just call upon you, Lord, that you will hear us. And you'll deliver us. And you'll set us free from our fears. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for those here today that are making decisions. They see their life, the future that they have, and they think that they know exactly what they want to do with their life. But Lord, make it real, Lord, to everyone, young and old, in this service today, that we could see, Lord, that the best life, the good life, is the life that, Lord, has lived for you, trusting you, Lord, because it all flows from you. Lord, I just pray for all of those that are in trouble, all of those that are in need, for those who have troubles and trials and questions and they don't know what to do or what the future holds. Lord, I just pray that somehow, Lord, that they would all sense and realize that you're just so close to them, that all they have to do is just call out to you. Hallelujah. And that you will answer and that you will help. And we thank you for that. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.